Thanks again for subscribing to my bookstore blog. That's right, Books Not Found in Your So-Called Christian Bookstore. And that would be So Many Versions by Saki Kubo and Walter F. Specht. Chapter 8, page 144, The Amplified Bible. Amplified means adding words. So what does that tell you right off the bat about this translation? Hopefully you have some Bible in your inner man. What does God's Word, the 1769 King James Bible, God's perfect Word, say about adding to the text? Its background and purpose. The Amplified New Testament was published in 1958 by the Lachman Foundation and Zondervan Publishing House. 4 years earlier, and you know that Family Christian Bookstores, Zondervan was part of that business, and you know, they closed, they went out of business, I want to say 10 years ago. Just an FYI. 4 years earlier, in 1954, the Amplified Gospel of John had been published. The Amplified Old Testament came out in two parts. Part 2 in 1962, Part 1 in 1964. In 1965, all these parts appeared in one volume, the Amplified Bible, published by Zondervan. The leading figure in the preparation of this translation was Francis E. Seward, a research secretary who also wrote the introductions to the earlier publications. So far, all I'm seeing is there is just one translator. The desire to make the Bible understandable is admirable, and translators of the Bible have used different methods to accomplish this common aim. The Amplified Bible does this by amplification. Its purpose is to reveal, together with the single word English equivalent to each key Hebrew and Greek word, any other clarifying shades of meaning that may be concealed by the traditional word-for-word method of translation. Its justification is that amplification merely helps the English reader comprehend what the Hebrew and Greek listener understood as a matter of course. Whether it has succeeded will be determined after careful investigation. The symbols used in the translation of the various types of amplification are explained at the beginning. There are four types. Parentheses and dashes signify additional phases of meaning, including in the original word, phrase, or clause of the original language. Do we have the originals? Commas are used to set off titles of deity. Brackets contain justified clarifying words or comments not actually expressed in the immediate original text. What originals are we talking about here? They never tell you. Italics point out certain familiar passages now recognized as adequately supported by the original manuscripts. There you go. There are no original manuscripts on the face of the planet. There never has been, and there never will be. There's always been copies. Moses had copies. Read your Bible. There's always been copies. Also, and, or other connectives in italics indicate that the word itself is not in the original text, whatever that might be, but it is used to connect additional English words indicated in the same original word. And here we go. The format is unfortunate. The verses are arranged as in the King James Bible. Well, they say version. I say it's the Bible. Each verse is set off as a separate paragraph in two columns in the one volume edition. And what did they say about that King James Version format? It's unfortunate. More next week.